Coming up on TMS, the snails of Dusseldorf.
Chewing on the boba.
I don't like little balls in my tea.
Professor Holden McGroin.
This is just floating meat.
Bring Brian a bisque.
Slap quitting.
Tacos by the slice.
Don't lick batteries with your body tongue.
Warning, this episode contains flashing lights.
The cilantro of Asian drinks.
Cruise ship dumpster food.
My complaint is now dead.
A satisfactory discussion with Bill.
Hard landing with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It just grosses me out. I don't like soup. I don't even like to see people eating it. And I don't even like looking at it either because it's food flavored water with just food chunks swimming in it.
The Morning Stream. It's Totes Fat.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It is Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. Hi.
Have you ever thought about soup that way? It's just floating
food. It's food-flavored water with food chunks in it? I mean, couldn't you describe anything like... gelato is just fruit flavored mashed up ice.
Oh, good point. Yeah, you know what? That's true. You could
boil everything down to that. No pun intended. But
there's probably somebody out there though that, well, like this kid. I assume he's real. I found him on YouTube. But somebody out there looks at soup and goes, "Gross! This is just floating meat."
I guess, but it ain't me.
Yeah, it's not me either.
Bring
I like
me
the
a soup.
Soup.
Oh, better man. Yet, bring me a bisque.
Yeah,
bring
bisque.
Me a nice bisque.
Oh, give me a sweater that the weather change. I'm going to sit out on the deck and I'm going to eat me some bisque.
I'm going to pretend it's cold out. I'm going to drink my coffee with my cup, both hands on my mug.
Yeah, there's some kind of pumpkin spice in there maybe, because that's what time of year.
There isn't.
Oh, okay. Brian doesn't do that. He doesn't.
I had a pumpkin spice boba yesterday.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
There's a boba tea place right around us. Called Boba Boba. Isn't there a boba placer called Boba something?
Yeah.
It's called Boba Boba. I don't know why there's no boba places. I'm sure somebody's going to find us a link, but I don't know of any boba places that are called Boba Fett or something like that.
Oh, why aren't there? Well, probably because it's copyrighted.
Probably licensing, but maybe Boba. Yeah, I can't even think of a good play on Boba Fett to use. Anyway, so is.
Oh, here it is. Arvada, Colorado, the only location, dude.
For Boba Boba.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
They know me. I'm the norm of that place, by the way. When I walk in, all of the employees go, "Brian!" I need to like record it.
Should record that. Do that.
Yeah, I should do that.
I want that.
Anyway. All right. So it was a black tea with whatever dairy substitute they use. They don't use actual dairy there, I found out. With some pumpkin spice and then a little bit of... unsweetened whipped cream foam on top and graham cracker crumbles. And then, of course, boba in the bottom.
Sounds all right.
And yeah, it might be a little much.
Okay.
I think it's a little much.
Okay.
Because I'm typically one of two things. Or one of three things. I'm either a taro boba, I'm a brown sugar, or I'm an almond. Mm. Those are my three go-to flavors.
Almond sounds like my jam. I would do that.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
If I could deal with those little balls, which is the whole point of boba, I don't like those.
So you don't like the little balls. See, that is like the cilantro of Asian drinks, basically. It's like you either hate those or you love them, those little tapioca balls.
Yeah. A lot of people really love them. I understand that. I don't want to besmirch their, I don't want to yuck their yum, but that just not for me, man.
Yeah, no, it's, and I would even go so far as to say if the line isn't 50-50 on people who hate versus love boba, it might even be like 75% people who don't want round chunky things in their drink and 25% who say, "Oh, bring on the weird black balls of chewy goodness."
Well, the good news is that enough people like it that you have sustainable businesses that sell boba tea all the time.
So many boba places. And for me, it's a drink that lasts a long time because like I'll take a sip, I'll get a couple boba in my mouth and I'll, while I'm driving down the road, go chewing on the boba. like a, and I do it like a little hamster, like, you know, like in my mouth, it's like the little hamster gerbil going, like just nibbling on the edges of the boba until it's gone.
Num, 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 num. That's where you
num,
had
num,
me.
Num, 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 num.
Yeah, that's where you won me over with that.
Yeah, yeah. If you didn't like boba before, now you're hooked.
Well, that's good. That sounded like a real sugary one you had, though, and I don't know if that's good for you. It seems bad.
It's not. I don't want that. I don't want the sugary one. And it was, because not only did they have everything I described in there, but then there was like a... They do, before they put the drink into the cup, they do the weird Starbucks drizzle down the walls of the cup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was in the glass the whole time.
Well, my
the
wife.
The caramel syrup, the pumpkin spice syrup was in the glass the whole time.
My daughter loves boba, so I don't know if she's listening, but she's probably going to want to go get one of those now. So good job on that.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well. Yeah. You know, get the typical ones I get are the low sweetness, brown sugar or almond or taro.
Nice. Taro is a root, right?
It's the root. It's the purple root that poi comes from, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that was a purely, I guess, you know, there's a lot of Asian influence in Hawaii, obviously, but I thought poi was purely a Hawaiian deal. But what do I know?
I easily could be wrong, but I think that taro is where.
And I've never had poi either. So I've had Hawaiian dishes. We got a big Polynesian community here in the Valley, and there's always cool places and events and things with great Polynesian food. I never tried the, they always have poi. I just never tried it. Should I try poi?
You should try poi. Yeah, I rather enjoyed poi. We went to, Hawaii to Oahu, and there's the most boring name for a place, the Polynesian Culture Center, something like that. I can't hear it's such a boring name.
I think that's it. I think that's exactly it. Polynesian.
That is where you went. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you go there and it's like, oh no, you learn about, like, they've got all these performances and shows of Tongan culture and Samoa and all these other Polynesian locations, not just Hawaii. And then at the end, there's a big luau and they do the fire dancing and lots of pork and poi and.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure doesn't.
I'll bet you guys did that then. Yeah.
I think the LDS Church owns the Polynesian Cultural
Center. Really?
I think so. Might have that wrong. Hold on. Owned
Polynesian. Oh my God. It really is. Yeah, it is the Polynesian Culture Center. I remember the name.
That might be why it's boring, because it's a church thing or a church owned thing. Let's
see. Well, it's just a boring name. Like, the actual place is great. Yeah. If you've.
Oh, I was right. Corporation of the President of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints owns the Polynesian Culture Center.
Look at that. It's an LDS deal. Yeah. That's kind of funny, actually. I don't know why I find that funny, but...
Big church population there on the island. There's quite the... And like I said, here in the Valley, there's so many cool Polynesian folks. Also, there was this thing growing up. Now, it might sound a little racist, but there was this thing growing up where if you had to pull a tree out... I may have talked about this. If you have to pull a tree out of your yard, you know, you got a big gnarly tree going and you got to pull it. Mm-hmm. Or even a stump or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You always hire the couple Polynesian dudes, the Tongans, specifically Tongan dudes, to do it. Because
there's so many Tongans in Salt Lake.
Oh, there's
right?
a ton Isn't of them. The yeah, deal? There's a ton of them. Yeah. You never want to have some, like, business run by a bunch of white dudes. You want to hire the two brothers that are Tongan who have a truck because they're going to charge you hardly anything. And they're going to be really good at it. They're going to tear that thing out. It's going to be perfect. They're never going to have a problem. And you're going to spend less than like $100. The Tongans rock when it came to pulling your tree out. That's just a thing growing up. I don't know if that's still true, but growing up, we were always hear that. It's like, oh, hire a Tongan. Don't have that guy do it. Hire a Tongan. It was really weird. Really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, why not?
Isn't the rock, he's not Tongan.
Is he Samoan or...
Yeah. Samoan, yeah. And that's the other thing. People think they're all together having a good time.
But
the Tongans and the Samoans, at least growing up locally here, did not like each other.
Really? Like warring factions?
Kind of, yeah. So you'd have, like, you know, dumb white guys like me that couldn't tell the difference, you know? It's like, oh, that's my Tongan friend. No, he's Samoan or whatever. But those two were just... There was, like, fights in their high school, and I don't know what the deal was, but very tribal. And we loved them. All right.
Interesting.
Wow. Hey, I got a question.
It's like Australians versus New Zealanders.
Yeah, there you go.
When you,
it's a little like that. Why that place? Yeah. Why those two places haven't gone to more war? I don't know.
Need to- or at least early on, like you said, hey, are you, so you sound like you're from Australia. No, I'm from New Zealand.
I'm from New Zealand.
You dick.
You dick. All right, check this out. I was listening to I was watching a movie trailer, and I had a question about the state of movie trailer voiceovers. Now,
okay,
keep in mind this was a horror movie, so it's entirely possible this is what they do for horror movies now, and I just don't see a lot of trailers. But I'm going to play just a piece of it so you can hear it, and then we'll talk about it, okay? So here's what this guy sounded like. Here you go.
Only in theaters. Special previews Thursday at 7 p.m. Get tickets now.
Only in theaters.
It's so nasal.
Yeah, it's just
only in theaters.
Are they even saying theaters? It doesn't even sound like theaters.
People are out of luck.
This Thursday at 4 p.m.
Only in theaters.
I don't like it.
Yeah, no, that's not from the new Pixar film, right?
No.
See, watch Onward, only in theaters.
Right, exactly. So it must be genre specific.
I think so, yeah.
I think he's somebody, when I was talking about this yesterday, a couple of people online said, that's a dude who does a lot of horror movie bumpers. Yeah. So maybe this is a thing now. This is for the movie Smile, which I kind of have.
Oh, God, we've seen so many previews for that. Like when we... like the last few movies we've seen in the theater have all shown us a preview for Smile. We're like, oh my God, just get this over with already. It was kind of like that for Nope. We really liked Nope, but up until we saw Nope, it was because it was like all of the Oscar nominees were showing previews for Nope. It's like, okay, we get it. We want to see Nope. We don't want to see any more previews.
It's easy to overdo that. They got to stop doing that.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I get it. You want to have the word out, but maybe you're over, you know, you can't flood us.
And I don't want to be the guy who like times it so that I'm walking into the theater after the previews and having to step over all the people who've got their recliner seats out and stuff like that. Plus, I like previews. I just don't want to see the same ones like 8 times.
That's
like 4 times, great.
I'll
decide if I'm going to see your movie. Like that one with who is it? It's called The Beast, or just maybe it's Beast.
Get the one where Idris Elba fights a tiger or whatever.
Yes, yeah. Idris Elba and Charlto Copley.
Sure, Kiko Cacophony.
That's the one. There you go. That's it. I said it wrong. You totally.
He turned into a District 9 monster. And yeah, I know that guy. Exactly. Mad Murdock, Mad Boy Murdock, or whatever they call him in A-Team. Yeah, so.
Sadly, it's not a movie featuring Beast starring Kelsey Grammer, unfortunately. No,
that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That would be great.
You know what? I want a movie. Get Nux and Kelsey Grammer together and do like a Lifetime version of The Beast. And let's go ahead and have him when he's young. Nicholas Holt is who I'm thinking of.
Uh-huh.
I only thought of Nux for some reason. And then later on, he becomes the Kelsey Grammer version, because both of those guys played great versions of Beast, and I would like more Beast. You know? There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
To say what you want about the Fox era of X-Men and how it kind of petered out toward the end.
Yeah.
Say what you want, but those two guys, great casting, great actors, nothing wrong with it.
I'd say that, all right, and I'm trying to think if there's a better example, but Fassbender, great young Magneto, and his face? Great old Magneto.
Yeah, wanted kid guy. Fury or whatever the hell he was called.
great young Ian McKellen, thank you.
Yeah.
Great young and old, and I'd say great young and old Xavier. But other than that, Patrick Stewart, and then McElroy.
That's the one I was trying. McElroy, that's it. McElroy? Yeah. McCoy. McElroy?
Not McElroy.
Roy
McElroy. No, the kid's name.
Ah, shit.
Who played the young Professor X.
McGroin, that's it.
McGroin,
McGroin.
First name Holden.
Yeah.
McAvoy, that's it. McAvoy.
James McAvoy. He's awesome. I like that guy.
Yeah, that's great casting. But I'm trying to think, are there any other young versus old X-Men actors where both choices were really, really good?
Oh, geez.
I mean, I guess you could say Rebecca Romijn and Jennifer Lawrence.
They were fine. I mean, they're just the same age, kind of, which is weird. I mean,
they kind of are. Yeah, right.
I don't mean the actors are, because obviously there's a difference, but they play the same age. Like, it's not really that different. Right. So that always threw me a little bit. Who else even was there besides Beast? Scott. I guess Scott Summers played by
unmemorable young Scott Summers. I mean, what's his face? Marsden was adequate Scott Summers. He played it like milquetoast.
The new one was the VR movie kid. Can't think of his name.
Ready Player One.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. From Mud.
Vicarious Ether, I totally argue on Jean Grey. I think Famke Janssen is a great Jean Grey, but I think that Stark... Sansa Stark was not a great Jean Grey.
Yeah, I didn't like her in that.
Yeah.
Just the wrong
Sophie
casting.
Turner, thank you.
Sophie Turner's fine.
Turner's fine, but not a good choice. No. Oh, well, she's redheaded. Let's make her Jean Grey. Yeah. No, you can pick the right actress and give them redhead.
Way better choices out there than that. That's just a bad
for
movie.
For sure.
Oh, that
for
movie.
Sure.
Real quick here. The longer question is this. This guy right here.
Only in theaters.
Do you think in his real life he's like, pass me the salt? Where's the remote? I can't find the remote. It's usually in the seat here. I can't.
The sour cream and cheese on my Chipotle, please.
The way he orders food.
Yeah, that's the only exactly. Double calf, extra shot latte with a.
I want to spend time with him. I just want to know.
I miss Ray LaFontaine, man. I mean, that's a voice that we grew up with in movie trailers.
Is it Don or Ray? I think it was Don.
Or Don, I'm sorry, Don LaFontaine.
That guy was great. He established the norm.
There's a musician named Ray Fontaine or Ray LaFontaine, and I always get the two confused.
Yeah, he's the beginner of the In the World, in a World, that guy.
In a World, like he is the creator of In a World.
That
guy
was great. There's a very good documentary about him floating around somewhere that I don't know the name of, so this won't help anyone, but if you can find it, it's great. It's very good. Yeah. All right, we got an email real quick here from...
It's called I Know That Voice or something like that.
That's it.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of people, but he was like the core of it.
He was the core of that movie. Yeah,
that was really good. Okay, so I'm going to play this here.
Send and receive email.
Rusty Nails and 102 in the chat. We know him. He's always in here. He sent us an email regarding the cruise thing and the whole single lane highway at the bottom of all cruise ships.
Oh, yeah, right.
He said, hey, I watched The Secret Life of the Cruise. I think that's an excellent show. Thanks for recommending it to us. Well, you're welcome. It is very good. It's just very informative. I liked it. Anyway, in regards to the main transportation corridor that runs through the length of the ship, it is called the I-95 in the show, but they never said if it was true of all cruise ships. I believe that the reason that ship would use that interstate name is because it's based out of Miami, and Interstate 95 runs through the entire length of the eastern seaboard of the U.S. from Miami to Canada, much like that corridor on the fourth deck. Love the show, though. Rusty Nails. Good point. I thought the narrator dude said common to all cruise ships, modern cruise ships, that they had something like this. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if they all had something like this, especially newer ones. But good point. They didn't really say that. So I was spreading misinformation, Brian.
Well, according to Behind the Scenes on a Cruise Ship on MatadorNetwork.com, I don't know what this is, the I-95 is everything. While the I-95 is one of the biggest highways in America, it's also a specific hallway on every cruise ship. The I-95, as it's really called, is located on Deck Zero, and it's where workers spend their days running beneath your feet. So
it sounds like it's all ships.
It might be all ships, and who knows? Maybe it's all ships that are registered from Miami, you know?
It could be, or if they're all... Maybe they call it something different on other ships, but think about the advantages here. You're talking about a design advantage that they would all want to use, because you need to be able to get from stem to stern, you know, bow to back, whatever they call it, very quickly. You need food services to move food, tons of food to this section really quickly. If there's an emergency... You need to be able to get over there and get up there. You know, like, I think they probably all have it, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is on this page, which is called Behind the Scenes on a Cruise Ship, Secrets from the Crew. The number one thing is the I-95, like talking about I-95. Two, living situation is dismal for the people who work on the ships. Mm. Three, they nap like cats. They don't sleep overnight. They nap throughout the day so that they can put in a full day.
Weird.
They're ready for pirates is number five. Guests are entertainment.
Wow. I'll bet they are.
The food is torture, number eight. And number 11, sex, yes.
Oh.
So apparently a lot of Cruise people, maybe it's, you know, Julian Isaac or Julian Doc or whatever, but they're all.
Yeah. Julian Doc on a cocaine the bender.
Getting on. Exactly. So if you've wanted to work on a cruise ship before, maybe this sways you one way or the other. The bad food, but lots of sex.
Sure. Be doing it all the time, napping all the time, eating bad food all the time.
That sucks that they get bad food when all the rest of the food for everybody else is
good food. Maybe they maybe they get what's didn't get taken at the buffet or something.
That's exactly what it says. It says the food is torture. Imagine eating leftovers every single day. This is the life of a crew member, although there are ways around it. The crew mess is full of guest leftovers that a chef attempts to throw together in a special way. I call this food mush, as it's basically a bunch of items thrown into a pot and mixed around. You'll often find workers doing everything they can to hit up the guest buffet because the crew mess is unbearable.
Oh my gosh, that sounds bad.
I was like, well, they didn't finish the peach cobbler and the succotash, so let's just put it in a pot and stir it all together.
Gross. I feel bad for them now. I didn't know this was the case at all. That's a bummer. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, they it's only like 180 people or something, that crew. Give them good food.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Lame. I mean, you know, instead of giving them the leftovers and mixing them together, just give them the leftover stuff from the buffets that, you know, and don't mix them all together. Like, you know, keep it in the same steamer trays. Let them
mix them together themselves
if they want.
I'll bet that's the logistical problem, because they're like, all right, we're turning over breakfast into lunch. We got to do it quick. And all of this stuff gets just dumped somewhere, and then you mix it up and don't.
It's all got to go into one pot because we need the steam trays for other things.
Yeah. It's like a big dessert bowl full of mixed dessert things and then your other food. It's awful. Now, that's water with food floating in it there, kid, at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly, kid. Enjoy your soup.
Yeah, enjoy your soup.
Could be worse. You could work on a cruise ship.
Well, there you go. That email was great, and we love your emails. Thank you, Rusty Nails, for that, and we have some clarification on the end of it, so that's always good. If you'd like to send your emails in here, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com. Hey, look, it's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Now live on Kickstarter until the end of the month, Lycan, Solomon's Odyssey, Chapter 2, a beautifully illustrated 72-page graphic novel continuing the story of the world's first werewolf. The book delves into the ancient Arabic folklore, mythology, and horrifying monsters. Comes out Thursday, while also touching on themes of PTSD and grief and opening the world up to magic. Please check it out and share it with others by going to lycanbook.com. That's L-Y-C-A-N book.com.
Very nice.
Only in theaters.
All right. Only in theaters. Why can't he just at least say, he can go low, go only in theaters. Instead, he's
only in theaters. I'm barely moving my mouth.
I need to take a shit. Only in theaters.
I don't like it.
Jill.
Barry. All right. There's your thing. Now we do the news. Pizza Hut. Speaking of food.
Sure.
They have announced an Italian taco to rival the Taco Bell Mexican pizza.
Bet it won't be as popular. I actually had a Mexican pizza on Sunday, one of those from Taco Bell.
I like those.
Yeah. That was my third attempt at going to a Taco Bell to get food, by the way.
Third attempt? What do you mean?
3 consecutive days, 3 separate Taco Bells. First Taco Bell I showed up, I did the order on the app ahead of time.
Yeah.
I get there and the lobby is closed and it's dark.
Yeah.
And there's like a line 20 people deep in the drive-thru. I'm like, well, shoot, I said I'd pick it up because when I placed the order in the app, it said you can pick it up from the lobby. So I guess, all right, I'll get in the drive-thru line. So I get at the very end of this drive-thru line. As I do this, I see people walking in and out of the front door, not the main side door where everybody parks, but the front door that you have to walk around the building to get to. Right. So I'm like, oh, cool. Back out of the line, go park. I walk around to that front door, or try to walk around that front door, and it's locked. But there's like a couple, what are the people who go to a restaurant? The customers, geez Louise.
Oh.
A couple customers sitting there by the door. And I like show them my app that I placed an order. They're like, oh, okay. And they open the door for me.
Yeah.
And I get inside, and the person behind the counter says, that's why we lock the doors. Quit letting people in.
Oh my gosh, dude.
To the people who just let me in. And I said, well, I've actually got an app order that I'm here to pick up. Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be a while. Probably like 45 minutes. You're welcome to sit and wait.
What?
Like, well, screw that. So that was Friday.
Is this the same problem that I ran into where just they can't hire enough people or something? Yeah. Something's going on.
They just close their lobby and create a massive drive-thru. Oh, so then Saturday, I'm like, well, I still want to get Taco Bell. So I do the same thing, but I choose a different Taco Bell. I go there. And this time the order doesn't fully go through, but I'm already at the Taco Bell because I'm doing the app order ahead of time, some time.
Yeah.
And I go to the, again, lobby closed, drive through open, but there was nobody in the drive through. So I go in and I say, hey, I'm picking up an app order for Brian. Guy on the other speaker says, oh yeah, we're not taking any orders right now. As a matter of fact, somebody's sick here and we've called the paramedics. Like, okay.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. They apparently had just closed things.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So, third attempt, went on Sunday. Different, completely different Taco Bell. Again, place the order ahead of time. Get to the Taco Bell. Guess what? Lights are off. The lobby's dark. Drive-thru's open. I go through the drive-thru and I said, I'm picking up an app order for Brian. They're like, oh yeah, we're not taking any more orders right now, but I think we just made yours. So I drive up there, I eat my food, and then I drive off.
What? Wait,
like
what?
Three different Taco Bells.
Look,
like
I get it. Like, I get this soft, what do they call it? Soft quitting thing? Or this idea that nobody, here's the problem, it's compounding itself.
Right, instead of quitting, you just don't show up until you're finally fired, right? Until
something like that, I don't know. Or they just can't hire people, I don't know what the deal is. But whatever the deal is, it's compounding itself. Because let's say you're Taco Bell,
right?
And you're like, oh shoot, we're losing people and we can't get new people. We're gonna have to do something drastic. How about we pay people better? Okay, cool. Let's say they raise pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then what you're doing is you're asking people to come into that chaos.
Yes.
Of having to stand at a thing going, the reason we shut the doors to keep new people. Like, what? Why would you ever want to work there? You know?
Right. Exactly. Right. It's a self, like the snake is eating its tail. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have these problems and expect to bring in new people to work there among all these problems, they're not going to stay and the problem will just continue.
No, this is heinous. That's bad, dude.
I know. We need to... Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Soft quitting is just doing enough at your job to not get fired. No overtime or going above and beyond. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's also a porn... when you're working in the porn industry...
soft quitting? Yeah,
you gotta soft quit. That's just how it works at the end of the day.
How about if I just slap you with this thing for a while? The problem, I mean, I wouldn't mind if this was happening at a Burger King or Wendy's or something like that, but dang it, I like Taco Bell.
Same.
And I don't want to see problems like this continue happening.
I agree. The food is better for me. I know that sounds weird to say in a fast food context, but it's true. It's better than other options. I like Taco Bell here and there, generally speaking.
It's not an every week food. It's a every 3 weeks food kind of thing.
And maybe they're all having this problem. I don't know. I guess McDonald's pays their people pretty well.
Certainly the three closest to me are having this problem.
Well, I mean like other restaurants. Like I have a feeling that
I see what you're saying.
I'm not saying I'm McDonald's sure is immune to it, but McDonald's apparently is like base pay is like $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good compared to the others. So I don't know what Taco Bell's deal is, but it's the same thing with our local one. I haven't been there in a long time, mainly because I ran into this problem you're running into, including twice where I ordered on the app. It went through successfully and then just went off into the ether and neither location was opened at all. So it's not just me, it's everybody. It's so weird.
Right. And it's going to be the same, like, you know, we talked about the employees and how that cycle will just continue. The same thing's going to happen with customers. If I can't trust the Taco Bell closest to me is going to have the food that I pre-ordered and even paid for in one case and can't cancel the order. I'm just not going to go to Taco Bell anymore. And I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go to Qdoba or Chipotle if I want, air quotes, Mexican food.
Sure.
Cheap, fast Mexican.
Alternative food. Americanized cheap Mexican food. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Weird, man. I didn't know. I'm glad you shared that. That's insane. That's crazy. That might be the last Mexican pizza you ever eat. Who knows?
It might be. So, Mr. Bell, if you're listening, then please see what you can do about this.
I love that the guy's name is
Bell. I assume that it's named, you know, it's named after a guy named Bell.
Yeah, his nickname in high school was Taco, and so they...
he sang Putting on the Ritz. It was great. It was an awesome, yeah.
Just parlayed that into a successful restaurant chain.
Right.
Well, anyway, Pizza Hut's announcing this thing.
Pizza Hut, Italian taco. Thanks. Sorry, I had to do my gripe. You know, we had the music.
Oh yeah, I should have given you the register of the complaint. You know what? We'll do it retroactively. Why not? Well, I hope not posthumously because you're still alive. You know,
I'm still alive, but my complaint is now dead because I've issued it.
A posthumous complaint. I love it. Yes. So anyway, fast food lovers or who love the Taco Bell, if you can get in there, Mexican pizza is undeniable. So here's what happened. Let's see. Let me move here. I'm going to move down. The folks at Pizza Hut, who, as their name implies, would know a thing or two about pizza, certainly seem to think that's the case. They did not explicitly call out the Mexican pizza for appropriation. Pizza Hut has launched a campaign sure to raise some eyebrows. They have announced they have begun to sell a new product called the Italian Taco. It's basically, if you look at the photo here.
Yeah, it's a pizza. It's goofy.
Dumb. It's dumb.
Because it's nothing. It's basically just a slice of pizza. They put the two ends together.
Yeah, it's really not anything. In fact, if anything, it looks like they just pinched the crust together like you would a New York style pizza, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you have a wide piece of pizza, you just basically put the two corners together on the crust side, and still the rest of it's wide open. It's not like
well, here's what they say.
This almost feels like a joke, right? Like they just made those little boats called Italian Taco just so they could jokingly say, oh, it's an Italian taco.
Yeah, they're poking fun at they may even be owned by the same food group.
They were for a while. It was all PepsiCo foods, and then what became Yum or
Yum Food
Bam
Brands, right?
Zam or
Bam.
Like
Bam Foods.
Bam Foods.
It says here, let's see, this is what they said. Feast your eyes and mouths on a hand-tossed taco shell, stuffed with a classic marinara sauce, mouth-watering melted mozzarella cheese, and whatever feelings you choose, from pepperoni to jalapenos, said a representative. Even though moments later they admitted the whole thing is just a slice of pizza that folds like a taco.
It is. Okay.
That's all it is.
Not crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they just spent a lot of money to make those boats.
Yeah. I mean, they say nothing burger all the time. This is a nothing taco. It's just
a nothing taco.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not real. It's just a bunch of bull crap.
No. I guess I didn't know that at a Pizza Hut you could actually get a single slice.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I guess you can with this, but I didn't know you could do that before that. Is that true?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't know that.
I would maybe do that. I don't know. Pizza Hut and I have had a rocky relationship in our lives. Mm-hmm. They used to be amazing. Like when I was a kid, we'd go there as a whole family, get big pitchers of root beer, a couple of pizzas, great pizza back in the day. Now it's just kind of an oily turd. It's not great.
It really is. Yeah.
So whatever. That's what happens when you get bought and sold 15 times over 3 decades.
Okay, and Kei Kitsumi confirms Taco Bell, Pizza Hut are Yum Corporation, which is a spinoff from PepsiCo.
Got it. And they they still own Taco Bell under that banner or no?
I think probably, it's probably still PepsiCo at the very top of that org chart.
Yeah.
But then you got Yum Foods, and I'm guessing that, what was it, the Frito-Lay was a subset of that?
Something like that. Also, didn't KFC and...
KFC was part of it too. Yeah,
A&W kind of had those combo restaurants, which was never made sense to me. But whatever, it's all gross now.
Yeah, they still do here. Like we still have those are the ones I haven't tried yet from my Taco Bell cravings. Is the combo restaurants? There's two of those close to me too.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. If your brand is Yum and you have all this gross fast food, you should change. You should buy the Yuck domain just to be safe. Just to say,
it's like you're, you know, like what a tryhard calling your company Yum and serving this stuff. Jeez,
I don't buy it. Doctors have. Here's a new story. Doctors remove 50 AA and AAA batteries from a woman's gut and stomach.
Oof.
Yeah.
And that's why they're not included in the toy you just got.
Damn straight. And also, before you go, what's happening in Florida today? This is in Ireland. Claire Gack.
Ireland. Oh, no.
Oh, we found a bunch of batteries in their gut.
Doctors in Ireland removed 50 batteries from a woman after she swallowed them in an apparent act of deliberate self-harm. The woman, age 66, was treated at St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin. after ingesting an initially unknown number of cylindrical batteries, according to a report in the case. Sure. This was Thursday, September 15th, so it's been a bit. In the Irish Medical Journal, which is a thing.
It's the Irish Medical Journal, where we chronicle all the things people put in their guts.
An X-ray.
Okay. I'm gonna give credit right now to your man Jeff One, because I was gonna make the joke, was she charged? But he went so far as to go, they had to discharge her.
Oh,
that was a far better joke than the one I was about to make. So hats off to you.
Oh, gosh.
Hats off to you, Jeff.
I don't know what to say about any of that. That is all nightmare jokes. Man, oh, man. Whatever. Credit where it's due. Good job.
Yes.
Our man, Jeff. I guess your man, Jeff.
Your man, Jeff.
Yeah. He's not my man. Anyway, where were we here? Oh, it says here, an X-ray revealed a multitude of batteries in her abdomen. Thankfully, none appeared to have been obstructing her gastrointestinal tract.
Ah, no kidding.
And no battery showed signs of structural damage, so no leakage of battery acid or any of that. Treatment initially took a conservative approach, which means no rated R movies. And I'm just kidding. I'm
joking. Very conservative.
Meaning they observed the patient closely to see if and how many batteries would pass through the GI tract on their own. Over a 1 week period, she passed 5 batteries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But X-rays taken over the following 3 weeks showed that the vast majority of the batteries had failed to continue progressing through her body. By this time, the patient was experiencing diffuse abdominal pain. I assume that means kind of all over diffuse. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably not localized to one specific part, like her whole stomach hurts.
Yeah, yeah, I would assume that's the deal. The woman then underwent a laparotomy. That's laparoscopic surgery, in which surgeons make an incision, access her abdominal cavity. They found that the stomach pulled down by the weight of the batteries had become distended and stretched into the area of the pubic bone. I played bass for Pubic Bone for 10 years. Never saw any residuals after they...
No. I picked up their anthology release, but I never listened to each of their individual albums.
Man, yeah. what a shame, that band. The team then cut a small hole in her stomach and removed 46 batteries from the organ. These included both AA and AAA. I love that they've got both in there.
She's no hearing aid. Those would be the easiest ones, right? That's where you start.
Yeah,
you
start with the little
batteries.
Yeah, then move up to the little watch ones, the Sony watch batteries. They're little flat.
Right, exactly. And, oh yeah, don't do the 9 volts I-Core. Boxy ones. Those will totally get caught. And if they don't, they're gonna not be pleasant to poop out.
Yeah. Plus, the whole time you're just gonna feel a little.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's like a giant body tongue licking a.
Every time it touches the wall of your stomach.
But she stopped short of the double A or the triple A's. Or no, sorry.
C's and the D's.
The C's and the D's, baby.
Yeah.
Do they even make those now? Is that a thing I can buy? A D battery?
So definitely can, because there's, there are still devices that require them.
Like a flashlight, right? They still use those.
Flashlights, if you newer flashlights are rechargeable, but.
Yeah. How about my black? I have a black light here. Let's see what we got.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are probably C's.
Here we go. So let's see what this looks like on camera. Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, okay. That's pretty small. It actually might be.
Yeah, these are small.
Might be double A's.
And it's not rechargeable, best I can tell, but we're going to find out because this is a show where we do dumb shit.
Yeah, it's where we learn. We all learn together.
Oh, these are. Oh, okay. It's a little cartridge that holds 4 AAAs. Oh, 4
AAAs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, she should have just eaten that and consolidated, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. It's blinking.
One big cartridge, just eat the whole thing.
I don't know why it's blinking.
Because that's one of the settings.
Oh.
In case, if
I'm just in the hotel looking for the semen.
Yeah, you don't want to use that version. You want to use, that's if you, you're on the side of the road fixing a tire. And you want Kim to stand there and hold that in its flashing mode to make sure people see.
Weird. I don't even know how I said it. Let's tell you a story.
It's usually like every click advances it forward through different settings. So
yeah. Well, anyway, if anyway you want to see what kind of weird stuff you have on your keyboard, this thing's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think I ever want to see that.
It's actually pretty gross. All right.
All right. Don't eat batteries, people.
Don't eat batteries. That's the lesson. Yep.
Yeah, if it's we one learned, of those My Strange Food Obsession discovery shows or whatever it is.
See, I could put that on as easily as I'm watching Intervention. It's kind of the same vibe, you know? Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. I don't know why I'm doing any of it. Should watch Futurama.
I know. Like, go 70s, 60s, and 70s sitcoms or something. Like, get yourself some, like, happy resolutions by the third act kind of stuff.
How about some Andy Griffith? I could use that.
There you go.
The old stuff. Oh, not when they went color. I don't want that. That's a weird time. Shark jumping era. Don't want it. I want the black and white, man. All right, check this out. Final story. A trail of slime leads German customs officers to bags of giant snails.
I love the fact that you know, whoever's got the carrying these bags, the slime is somehow going through the bags and like leaving a trail behind the person walking.
And if this wasn't the Associated Press, I might have thought this was The Onion. But it's not. German customs officials say a trail of slime led them to a stash of almost 100 giant African land snails. And are there sea snails? Maybe there are. That implies the existence of sea snails, is what I'm saying.
I guess so. I've seen snails in aquariums. Those are, you know.
I guess that's a sea snail.
That would probably be a sea snail.
Yeah, I don't know.
Freshwater snail. I don't know.
Okay, There are, chat says. I don't think I've ever seen one. There were other items hidden in these bags as well in the Dusseldorf airport. In a statement Friday's authorities said officials stumbled over one of the snails in a bag of baggage truck and initially thought it was a toy. I don't know what voice I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't either, but your Dusseldorf voice, clearly.
Philip at the end is, I don't know where we were going there. Anyway, they followed a trail left by a 20 centimeter, 8-inch snail. That's too big. I don't like that. No, sir. I don't have a problem with snails. I have a problem with big snails. I don't have a problem with spiders. I have a problem with big spiders. Like, it's all size issues for me with bugs and animals and creatures and things. Anyway, they found this bag with a hole and another snail already peeping out of it. He was peeping.
Hello.
Hello.
There's a bunch of us in here. Please let us out. This is a problem.
Anyway,
the ones on the bottom are like swimming in slime.
You may have seen our trail. Hope you found it.
Possibly preparing for a dash for freedom, it says here. That's funny. There's no dashing with a snail. In total, they found 6 bags containing 93 giant snails, all around that size, a total of 62 pounds, or 28 kilograms if you're keeping track in space points, of fish and soaked meat was also there. A suitcase full of rotting meat was also part of the acquisition. They'd all been imported from Nigeria and were destined for African goods store in Western Germany. The snails were handed to the Animal Rescue Service in Dusseldorf, and the meat was immediately eaten. Just kidding, destroyed. And the guy says, never in the history of Dusseldorf customs office has a trail of slime led us to smuggled goods, yeah. Said a spokesman. Uh-huh. All right, that's the end of today's news. We hope you gain something from it. Here's what we do at the middle of the show. We like to break things up and give you a little bit of audio entertainment. And Brian's in charge of that. He brings music, really.
Oh, you're saying I should have actually had something ready. Oh, okay. I think I got something ready, Scott. Oh, my gosh.
Man, you're so good at this last second song selection. I love it.
Yes, it's almost as if when you were talking about that last story, I was pulling up my notes about the song. Hey, brand new album came out last Friday, and it's really, really good. It's called Crushed Grapes, and it's by a guy named Jason Bajada, B-A-J-A-D-A. So basically, you just put one finger on the A and then just go B-J-D and just keep hitting that A every other time when you're searching for this. If you like Sufjan Stevens, Fleet Foxes, Father John Misty, there's like a John Lennon-y Beatles kind of feel to it that I really, really like, then you're going to like this album. Well, the first single is Walt Disney. You can check it out right now. Here is Walt Disney by Jason Bajada.
Everyone's picking sides. Do you care to join my army? I've been staying inside, feeling safe, maybe sorry, cowering behind bittersweetness. Come spend the night, kill with kindness, rid ourselves of spite. I've frozen you in time. kind of like Walt Disney. A block of ice, look away to feel better. Cause any sign of life brings me back to your bitter lies. Those were definitely darker times. As I drive down Sunset Boulevard this California sun, with my best friend by my side, we end up laughing till we cry. Visit mansions in the hills, she pretends to be my wife.
Used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me.
Isn't there Phil Cosby?
The Morning Stream. Better than a straw tart blueberry pop torch.
All right, we have returned. Remind me who that was, please.
Yeah, that is the song Walt Disney, performed by Jason Bahada from the brand new album Crushed Grapes.
Nice.
One might say that's wine.
Mm. Was the, I haven't heard the song yet because I'm going to go back and listen, but is it an anti-Walt Disney thing? Is it a pro-Walt Disney?
It's funny. I listened to the lyrics and I didn't pick out where he was talking about Walt Disney. It's more about kind of driving across the country and pretending you're my wife and that sort of thing. Like it's kind of sweet. It's a sweet song.
Oh, well, I like it even more with this explanation. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Sure. Now you've got some setup, you'll enjoy it, and you'll be like, okay, I think I like it.
Yeah, now I can listen with impunity.
Please All do. Right.
We're going to call our pal from the Pacific Northwest. You know him as Bill, but we know him as the Grand Maker of Things.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Oh, my gosh. Look who it is. It's Bill Duran, who we didn't have him last week because we took it off for reasons. But he's back, and he's here, and he's got stuff to talk about. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Hello, did you guys take a peek at Jupiter last night?
No, I did. I
saw it Sunday night. The way we were facing at the Bronco game was directly at Jupiter. So, like, when we were watching that messy game, We're watching Jupiter.
Oh, here we go. Look cool. at that. Closest pass to Earth in 59 years. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was before we were all born, boys. That's awesome. No, I missed the actual viewing, but I'm looking at some photos now of some telescope stuff, and my gosh.
It's cool. It'll still be pretty close today if you want to take a peek.
Yeah. That thing is a gnarly planet, man. That thing just, yeah. You know yeah. that if we could somehow get on the surface, which will never happen, but let's say we did, somehow could survive it, that must be one hell of a thing. You know,
Point
like just
view,
constant
yeah. Yeah.
swirling storms that never stop. I don't know if this is the planet that rains diamonds, or is that might be Venus, but somewhere it just rains diamonds all day. Like weird. I'd love that kind of mm-hmm. idea that we could get there, but we're probably never going to get there.
It'd be so cool. Yeah.
Bill, it's good to have you back. You and Brian mm-hmm. are expat COVID buddies, both
That's right.
recovered from your COVID little fight there. How do you feel? You feeling good? You out of the woods?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm feeling back to 100%.
That's good. No brain fog, no long COVID symptoms, any of that stuff?
As far as I can tell, no.
Okay.
I dodged the bullet.
Yeah. I always, people, if I ever get it, when people say, do you have the brain fog? I say, no, I was always this slow, I'll say.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to have you back. We missed you and we can't wait to hear what you've been working on. So tell us and inspire us.
We got a good one. We have a new video out over on punishprops.com. We finished our satisfactory costumes. We made them for Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
Most of this build was done in the month of August. A bit of a sprint at the end, but we got it done with 12 hours to spare before our flight took off. And it was awesome. It was a really, really fun build. The game is satisfactory. Both Brittany and I played it together, and we'll play it again because it's the kind of game that just pulls you in.
Yeah, and it's not even 1.0 when it hits that.
It's not even fully released yet.
I know,
actually
right?
released yet. I watched that whole video this morning. It's just amazing. Like the sanding and the gluing and the sanding and then the priming and then the sanding and then
yeah.
and the whatnot.
The assembly, but that the visor, the way you got that set, like everything, seeing everything fit together just the way you expect it. It just feels mm-hmm. like such a, you know, I don't want to use the term satisfying, but it's just such a, kind of feeling.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Tell me why this shirt, shirt you're wearing in the beginning of the video. What's the deal with that thing? That's pretty.
Well,
gnarly.
if you'd gone to Dragon Con a few years ago, you'd understand.
Oh,
what
that's
the shirt
the carpet.
Yeah,
it is the carpet.
I get
yeah.
it now. Okay, and then this T-shirt. That's is that from the team
yeah,
that makes
merch.
The game? That's
yeah,
awesome.
That's merch from Coffee Stain.
That's great.
And
I love
it's
it.
The helmet I made, so I had to get it.
Nice. This is great.
So the helmets were 3D modeled, and I made one for me, one for Britt. So there are actually two different sizes I modeled in tandem. And also, by the way, if anyone is interested in making these helmets, the 3D files are available for free over at punishprops.com if you want to
cool.
print them out yourself.
Your scanning of your face using the phone stuff we talked about a few or maybe a month ago. That's
yeah,
cool to see
right.
you using that. You're gonna do. You probably do this for all your future. Well, maybe you only have to do it once because your head is your head.
Right, I have it now.
Yeah,
we're good. True. Unless my head changes in size or volume dramatically in the future, hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did lots of 3D scanning. Me and Britt and I. Drop those into Fusion 360 so I can model the helmets right around our head. I actually had the in-game model of the helmet. I threw that in there as well so that I sort of had something to work around. And I also scanned those store-bought visors to drop in there. That was the really satisfying part, getting those visors to fit perfectly. Mm. So good.
So that's interesting because the visor... Yeah. Part of that helmet is I think what makes that helmet kind of unique. How did you know what to get to
thing.
Duplicate that? Like that seems. I guess you can probably touch this stuff up in 3D, obviously, before you print it or
yeah
whatever.
But yeah, we really kind of designed a lot of the helmet around the visors that we bought because we found these like medical visors. It's almost like a pair of sunglasses. Because it's got stems, like glasses stems, and a nose piece on it. But then it has this big visor part that covers your whole face. It was the right color. It's got that color shift thing going on. I spruced it up a little bit. I've used some clear vinyl, adhesive vinyl, and cut out a hexagon pattern to put on the visor to give it that. It's got that in the game. Yeah. And it just gives it that little extra bit of something that makes it special. I really love how those turned out.
It looks so cool with that that hexagon thing on it, which I watched you try. Like, that's where my, not OCD, but something was kicking in as I was watching you trying to get it all straightened out while I was speaking to the visor. Like, oh no, oh, it's buckling right there. Oh no, it's folding on itself right there. But
it's hard to get. So it's going over a complex curve and it's hard to get all that to lay flat. So we did a pretty good job on it. And it looks, I really love how it looked.
I think I talked about this last time with you, but the idea of starting with a thing you can buy, like the visor, is kind of what I'm doing with the PIM particle, the PIM energy core. So yes. I got this light, this lantern that is going to be the center of the PIM energy core. And I'm building a 3D thing around it. And my holdup has been, well, I want to record the whole process, like... You know, video screen capture, record the whole process of me making the lantern shape that this goes into. And because of that, it's like, oh, I really want to get started on it, but I'm not ready to start that part of it. So this whole thing gets pushed off. But
yeah,
I'm so excited to do it.
That's fun. I will say screen recording or recording yourself 3D modeling something is painful.
Is it?
Because I don't know about you, when I model something, I'm like, and next we do this part like this. Nope, that's wrong. Right. Let me do that again.
Yes. Oh, wait, maybe 5 millimeters is too much. Let's go 3 millimeters. Yeah. No, what I'll probably do is just record the whole thing, edit, and then do a voiceover.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good luck with that, but I'm excited to see it. It should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our helmets were all 3D printed. We used as many printers as we could find. So I have my Ultimaker that's set up with ABS. So I printed a lot of parts in ABS, which works really well. We have a Photon Mono X little resin printer for printing all the little parts on the helmet. And then we even convinced our buddy Joel, the 3D printing nerd, to print one of the helmets on the Form 3L giant resin printer.
Yeah.
And they're tough resin. They have a durable resin. So Brittany's helmet is actually probably a lot more durable than mine.
Mm.
And then, as you mentioned, lots of assembly, sanding, and priming, and even more sanding.
How big is that Form 3L, by the way? It's pretty. You can do how large a piece? I guess as big as that helmet. But
we had to split the helmet in half to print each side separately.
Interesting.
About the size of a helmet.
Wow. Yeah, they claim I've kind of followed this one because I'll never afford it. Maybe I can. I don't know. But life-size prints of larger-than-life ideas, they always claim, and then they say that's big enough to make human-scale models, which I assume is like, all right, you can do a hand, and then here's a forearm, and then here's a bicep, and that sort of thing, right? Like, if you wanted to. Have you ever been tempted to do that? Just like a full-size
make a Bill Mannequin?
Yeah, Bill Mannequin. You should do that.
I should. Cool. I have a 3D scan of my whole body. And also that 3D scan was from a few years ago and I'm in better shape.
Oh,
so we should scale. We could totally print that one.
Yeah, print that one. That's great. Well, very cool. I'm just watching this. This looks like one of your, I don't know why I'm getting this impression. It looks like one of your bigger projects. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, it was a ton of work. So, there's the helmets and the jumpsuits. Brittany did the painting on the helmets and she, sewed the jumpsuits from scratch, came up with a pattern and did some fitting and then put the whole thing together.
Oh my gosh, we also have some
found parts. We bought boots and gloves and the undershirts were all found objects that we purchased somewhere. And then we like I said, got them all done at 7 p.m. on the Wednesday before we flew out at 7 a.m. on Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It was pretty good. And we even had a couple hours in the evening to chill out before we had to go to sleep and then fly to Dragon Con. So it wasn't that stressful, but it was
it's a little last minute. Yeah. Sometimes your best work though is under the gun like that. You know?
Oh yeah.
I find that to be true. So let me ask you about this adhesive with the honeycomb pattern. Is that a thing you buy ready like that? Did you?
No. So that was just a sheet of clear vinyl, and I used my vinyl cutter to cut that pattern into it.
Oh, my gosh. That's so bad.
Using all the tech we've got.
Yeah. Although I guess warning to tryptophobians or whoever you are out there that don't like those.
Oh, what is that? Yeah, the they don't like holes. Yes. It's
tryptophobia, I think. Yeah. I have a friend who can't. He wouldn't be able to look at this part of the video at all. Or even that metal thing you have weighing it down. The big block. The
1-2-3 block?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Where do you get that 1-2-3 block? I was watching that.
Yeah, where do you get that? Is that a thing you made?
Amazon.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Amazon's got them. They're really useful for weights. They are exactly 1, 2, and 3 inches on each side. So you can use them to make some measurements. Nice. They have so many uses.
It's very cool. Well, congratulations on an amazing build. This is great.
Thank you.
And this thing, when this video go up? You put this up when?
Yesterday.
Already at 30K views. Look at you. Just creaming the crop here. Look at all these comments.
It was at 29,999 till I watched it.
Yeah, I know. And then you get a prize for that, by the way.
Free watching of the video.
That's right. Yay! It's just one of those
free
little,
1-2-3 block.
You get a spider ring at the where you turn your tickets into the arcade. Don't worry about it. Well, this is great. Everyone go check it out, please. It is the Satisfactory build. Already some great titles for Bill's segment today. We got a Satisfactory build with Bill. Some really good stuff in here. Anyway, Bill, you always leave us with a little bonus extra. What do you got today?
Got a build video from Simone Yetch and Laura Kampf, two makers that I'm friends with and are awesome. They got together in Germany and did a pair of videos together that were just really, really fun videos.
Simone is a gift from heaven.
Yes, she is.
I don't know the other girl, but it sounds like somebody I should follow.
Yeah, Laura is out of Germany. She's currently renovating a 120-year-old house, and it is going... it has become an adventure, let's say.
She looks like the kind of German that would kick my ass. Just saying.
Yeah, and she's also an incredibly talented maker in so many ways. Like, she would kick your ass at sign making and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah, she would beat me physically and then do it intellectually as well with all her fine work. That's what I'm looking for in a woman. Anyway, hey, Bill, that was great. Always good to talk to you, man, and I'm glad to have you back. We'll do this again in a week if you're down for it. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, Bill Duran, everybody. Punish Props on Twitter. Also, no, Chinbeater on Twitter. Punishprops.com is the website. And, of course, the YouTube channel. Go be one of these 30,000-plus people who have already seen the video. All right?
Let's push it to 31,000!
Let's do it, baby! We'll see you later. All right. There he goes. It's good to talk to Bill.
It is.
I'm just glad you're both over here.
It inspires me to make, and I just need to freaking get off my butt and record my video of me making.
You gotta make, man. Make it.
Gotta make.
Make it or break it.
Gotta make.
I forgot who's on next.
Bobby would be next.
My brain locked up for a second.
Boy, if he didn't feel bad about you not checking in on it before.
Look, Brian forgot the term, or he forgot the word customer.
The word customers.
Yeah, yes. Customers, and I forgot who the hell Bobby is. All right. Anyway, I don't know what's worse. Here's this.
Science.
It is science. Science time with Bobby. It's a Tuesday. That means we're going to talk about a little bit of science today. Bobby, welcome back. How are you?
You didn't check in with me yesterday.
I know.
You forgot who the hell I am.
I know.
But I forgot the word customers, Bobby, so it's all even.
It's even.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, don't feel... Okay. I'm sure the word customers
I'm sure
feels
one time
worse.
You were a customer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to have you here, man. I hope you're doing well. How was your flight stuff last week? I know that was... we were a little worried about schedule because you were doing a big lesson.
Oh, yeah. I got back in time. That was all fine. I usually make people think that I'm going to be late when I really, there's not a lot of risk. It's just, I don't like springing it on people. So I just want to be like, okay, heads up. It is possible, albeit a small chance that something like super bad traffic could happen or something like
right.
that.
So sure.
I was back in time, but you canceling the show did make it so that I could hang out with my wife for a little bit. So.
Oh, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. So, just a progress update. The flight stuff going well.
It is going well. Yeah. Last week when I did go, it was really nice, smooth flight, and that felt really, really nice. The air was nice and calm. But yesterday was probably the most discouraging lesson I've ever had.
Oh,
it was
no.
really hard.
Oh.
We were doing what's called pattern work, which is where you just stay around an airport and you just land and take off over and over again to practice takeoffs and landings, really.
Right.
And landing is really hard when you're first starting off. It becomes easier, of course, once you get it all. But there's so much when you're coming to when you're approaching and getting into the traffic pattern in an airport and trying to land. There's so many things to keep track of all at once. And I was doing really bad, and my takeoffs were worse than they normally are, and it was just really discouraging. But then I found out when we were done, he said, because he lets I am in control most of the time, but the last landing, I was doing so bad, he just took the controls, and he was like, listen, we're just going to land, and we're going to be done.
Wow, that's not fun to hear that. I don't like that.
Well, I'm exaggerating his tone a little bit, but because he's really nice. He's a great flight instructor, but that's what was going on, and we were getting closer to the end of the lesson. And then he told me after he landed, right as he was coming into land, the stall horn in the plane went off, which tells you you're about to stall. Mm-hmm. And he was the one doing it. And then he finally lands, and he says, "Okay, turns out that," and you might not have known this because you're new at this. It turns out that there was like a ton of really bad shearing winds, like gusts across crosswinds across the runway, and it was making it really hard to fly. And he just didn't know how bad it was because I was the one doing most of the flying. He just thought I was doing really badly the whole time.
Yeah.
But he said, in hindsight, he said, given that those conditions, you actually probably were doing pretty well.
Wow. I mean, that's you're to be expected to have some of this be troublesome sometimes, right? That's the point of learning how to do it.
Yeah, and it was so knowing that was the case, I was able to like shake off some of the discouragement, because like, okay, it's not that I'm terrible and sliding backwards, it's that it was the conditions were really tough. But it was the discouragement stuck with me for a while, because it felt like a lesson where I was going into it, I was expecting to make a lot of progress and learn landings and takeoffs a lot better, but that didn't happen because of the conditions. And so but like you said, all experience is good experience, especially when you never know what could be the conditions when you're flying, so at any time, you know, so it's an experience that I had, and there you go.
There you are. And you survived.
Still,
and that's the
cost the same amount of money, though.
Yeah, that's true. You don't get a discount on a bad day. I get it. Well, maybe all of that left you open to learning about some cool scientific facts so you could share them with us. That's my transition.
Yeah.
So tell us, host of All Around Science, what are we talking about this week?
So you guys ever heard of the Ig Nobel Prizes?
I have heard of those.
Yeah. So every year.
Did we lose Brian? Brian, you there? Oh, Brian left. Brian. Oh, he did leave. Brian must have had to poo or something. I don't know what happened. He took off. Anyway, go ahead.
I didn't want to talk to him anyway.
Oh, his dog. One of his dogs, or his dog is pooping, I think is the deal. Dog emergency. We're good.
All right. So the Ig Nobel Prizes, they do them every year. It's a yearly awards that, and in their words, to quote, honor achievements that first make people laugh and then make them think. They were on September 15th. I actually always forget about them every year, but shout out to our good friend, Nikki Ackerman. She let me know ahead of time. She said, hey, they're about to happen.
So, I love Nikki. Anyway. Nikki's great. She will not only inform you of things, but she's also super nice, and people should know about her. She's rad.
Yes,
I like her.
She's awesome. Yeah. So they're kind of like funny awards, but they're given to genuine scientific achievements, and that's important, right? So they're not like the Darwin Awards that you hear about, where they're just given to dumb things that people do. So they're given to scientific achievements that are just weird or funny or something like that. And once in a blue moon, they'll give them out to satirically to stuff like homeopathy to criticize it. but that's not very often. And I like them because I think they highlight the importance of doing science just for the sake of discovery, because a lot of these things are just like weird things. And so I thought, in honor of the the Ig Nobels and to laugh a little bit, I go through some of the Ig Nobel prizes that were given out this year.
Oh, all right. Cool. I'd love to hear this because I did not follow this year's stuff at all. I have no idea who won anything.
Most people don't, and you wouldn't be faulted if you don't. a lot of it is just like people in the science community laughing at the research that scientists do, but in a nice way because, you know, science has to be done. Mm-hmm. And even science of weird, seemingly pointless things has to be done because that's how we learn about things, right?
Yeah.
So there's it's given in a lot of different areas. We'll start with the Applied Cardiology Award.
Ooh, I like heart stuff because, you know, I got a family history of heart stuff. I'm always happy to hear the advancements over there. So let's do it.
It was given to the title of the paper was Physiological Synchrony is Associated with Attraction in a Blind Date Setting. Mm. And what it basically was is they found that when two people are in love, their hearts synchronize.
Oh.
Basically, when they approached this study, they thought, well, when their hypothesis was that when two people are attracted to one another, that they would synchronize certain physiological responses, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting how they did this. They set up the study and said they took pairs of people that they found in they recruited from like conferences and stuff like that. They would go around and find pairs of people that were willing to do this, and they would take them into what they called a dating cabin, which sounds really scary and creepy to me. But a dating cabin, quote unquote, and ask them to sit at a table face to face, well, not face to face, but across from each other with a plastic divider between them.
Okay.
So they couldn't see each other. And what they would do is they would raise the divider three times throughout the experiment. The first time they would raise it would be for 3 seconds for a quick first impression of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would do it two more times for 2 minutes each, one for verbal communication with each other and one for nonverbal communication with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time that they were doing this, they were measuring physiological responses. They had to wear eye-tracking glasses. They would measure their heart rate, their skin conductance, which is just a fancy way of saying whether they're sweating.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay.
And other things that they measured. But those were some of the main things. They were keeping track of all these responses because their idea was if two people are attracted to each other, they expected that there might be some sort of synchrony between these responses between the two people. And when they were done with this, they would ask them separately, hopefully, so they if they would like to go on a date with the other person, right?
If you'd like to go on a second date, we'll pay for it.
Mm-hmm. So basically, as a measure of in this brief encounter, was there some attraction, right? Mm. 34% of the women said they wanted a second date.
Weird.
53% of the men did, because of course more men did.
Because they're horny, those men. They're horny.
Right.
Right.
We have lower standards. and they found that only 17% of those people had both people in a pair said that they would like to go out on a second date with that person, okay?
Okay, so let me make sure I got that right. The percentages I get for women versus men, but the only time that that both sides said yes.
Yeah.
That's 17%.
Exactly. When they asked the people after they were done, sometimes just the woman would say that they were willing to go on a second date. Sometimes just the men. But 17% of the time, both in the pair said that they would like to go out on a date, on a second date with the person.
Got it.
A second date, as if this was a first date.
Sure. a second brief window of looking at each other. They would like to go on
a second time in the dating cabin.
Yeah.
They found that, and this is the interesting part, they found that whenever there was a synchronization between heart rate and skin conductance. Now, what that means, a synchronization, by the way, is that whenever one person's heart rate increased, another person's did. It's not like they're beating at the same time. it's just the increase and decrease in heart rate would happen at the same time between the two people,
mm-hmm.
right? Whenever they found that happened, it was predictive of whether or not both people in the couple would want to go on a second date. But also, interestingly, they found that other signals, like smiling or gaze direction, did not correlate with whether or not there was attraction between them.
So interesting.
It could be that smiling and looking at each other or looking away, those could be false signals that are maybe for other reasons. And these unconscious signals that you have little control over because they're tied to your autonomic nervous system, like heart rate and sweating, those were better predictors.
How many people? Do you know how many people were in the study total? Just for background.
I think there were a total of 140 couples, 140 pairs.
That sounds about right. You wouldn't want less than that, and more than that seems problematic. Right? I don't know. It seems like redundant. That's probably all you need is that sample size. I don't know.
You probably want at least around that much. More wouldn't hurt. I mean, if you start to get way more, then it starts to get weird data mining kind of like, is there really an effect kind of stuff?
Yeah.
The more people you have, the more the statistics have to work out, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the applied cardiology. So they got an award for that. There's another one in literature, which is a fun one.
Oh, that's for reading. Yeah, I like that. That's a good one for reading.
Right. So the paper was called Poor Writing, Not Specialized Concepts Drives Processing Difficulty in Legal Language. So what this basically was, a summary was, is that they were analyzing what makes legal documents so hard to understand. They decided to test what... there's these competing theories of legal convolution. You know, legal documents are really hard to understand, right?
Yeah.
And some people argue that the reason that they're complicated is because the law, it's technical and it's precise. You need to have technical language in order to get the precision that you need for the law, right? And that's their argument for why you have all this convoluted language. Others, though, argue that no, the law is actually built on very ordinary concepts and we don't really need all this complicated language. We could explain things in contracts and legal documents more plainly to make people understand. It's not required.
Interesting.
So scientists decided that they were going to analyze this a little bit and see what they could figure out.
Right? Okay.
So they analyzed the text of a ton of legal documents, altogether 10 million words they analyzed.
So gamers, by the way, listen to this because these are your EULAs that you're scrolling 500 miles to sign and stuff like that, and you never look at because they're insurmountable in terms of having to read them. They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It has definitely to do with these types of license end user license agreements. Yeah. So they found in their results that, no surprise, probably, legal documents seem to be unnecessarily convoluted. And that they could, and importantly, they probably could be made much easier to understand if they avoided a lot of the features that they identified as the culprits. They found that there were a few big things that caused these documents to be really convoluted. Non-standard capitalization. Have you seen that before?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I hate that.
Where you'll be reading like some sort of legal brief or like, you see a legal document and words are in all caps for seemingly no reason.
And sometimes it's just one or two. Like it's like the complainant has found that the defendant doesn't have a zubazubit like that, right? Why do they do that? Right. What is that about?
I don't know. I'm sure there are people listening, like lawyers that are listening right now who are thinking like, no, there's a reason we do that. But in this, they found that it leads to further confusion, the non-standard capitalization. Also, the use of archaic words that nobody uses anymore, mm-hmm. like herein or aforesaid or to wit. Mm. so archaic language, legal jargon that probably could be expressed in simpler language. And the biggest culprit they found was this language thing called center embedding. Mm-hmm. And this is really fascinating. Center embedding is this process of sort of like nesting phrases inside other phrases that sort of unfold themselves. And you have to sort of, in a weird way, unfold them accordion style to figure out what the sentence.
Like you're doing an equation, like you're breaking out the parentheses in an equation.
Exactly, and they're explained often using parentheses. I got some examples that you'll like here. So the first example is, the rat, the cat, the dog chased, killed, ate the malt.
I hate that. I hate everything about that.
Right. Yeah. So the breakdown of that, the easier way to say that would be, the dog chased the cat. The cat caught the rat that had eaten the malt. Like, that's what that sentence is saying. Right. So you can imagine how impenetrable this stuff is. My favorite example I found here was, the dog, the girl, the boy, the teacher, the mechanic, the owner of the dog uses, lives with, likes, knows, saw, ran away.
Mm. Wow. I hate it.
Jeez. And so, are there commas or parentheses in that at least help you break it down, or how?
Not in the ones that I found, but you know, God. they were constructed examples I found online. So they might have left the commas out on purpose to further obfuscate it. But this is in legal documentation all the time where they do this. And they, in their analysis, they found that it's quite likely that this is, they suspect that this is deliberate obfuscation of things to make it so that it's not as easily understood. Now, that's maybe speculation. I don't know. I'm not trying to call any lawyers out there deliberately deceitful in their legal documentation. But the point is that they did find that if you did away with a lot of these things, that legal documents would be easier to understand.
Mm, I agree. Like, why? I don't know why. If it's important that people know what they're agreeing to, why does the language have to be so nebulous and difficult?
Like, yeah, so that you can get people to agree to things that they may not realize they're agreeing to.
Yeah. So all that does is just instill distrust in whatever company or service I'm signing up for. It's kind of, for me, it's just throwing my hands up and going, whatever, click. Like, I already assume I've agreed to a million bad agreements with video games and movies and a million other things. I may as well just do another one. It's fine. When I went and got our house, and you know, you close on a house, anyone's ever done that, it's miles of signatures.
Oh my
for
gosh.
Stuff they're like, oh, you don't need to read this, just sign this. Okay, what does this say? Well, this 400 pages says basically that you aren't going to default on your payments. Like, why do you need 400 pages that say I won't?
This 12-page document agrees that you will not lick the lead paint off the walls. Yeah. That you agree to not eat the lead paint.
It's really a weird part of our modern society, and I kind of hate it, but on the other hand, I'm like, eh. Like, it's the way I feel about it. Don't you worry, the government's watching you. I'm like, whatever, just watch. I don't care. What are you gonna see? My fat ass in the morning? Like, who cares? Right. Like, but I actually do care. I'm annoyed by it, but I feel like I can't do anything about it, which is part of the problem because they've worn us down with their legalese, you know?
Yep.
Anyway.
That's the end goal. That's what they're trying to do, is wear you down.
Well, congratulations, industrial complex. You've done it. You've done it.
There are a bunch of other very funny ones. There was a study that looked at whether or not constipation makes it difficult for scorpions to move around.
As they do, yeah.
Yeah. It turns out that it doesn't.
Okay, that's good.
which I read that, a little bit of that one, and I didn't know this. So scorpions can drop their tails like lizards can do.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like off? Like drop off? Like
yeah,
drop
they can...
off.
Off.
tail off.
And it's like as much as 25% of their body mass, but they can do it. They don't grow it back like lizards do. They will die. but they die some month or more later, and it's not because their tail is missing or anything like that. It's because dropping their tail off causes them to become constipated so much so that it kills them.
Mm.
I didn't look further into it. It was just stated that way as if it was a fact that I should know. So
are they supposed to just watch their diet?
Is that because their butt was dropped off too?
Yeah, are they supposed to just watch their diet? Like, what are you supposed to do for constipated freaking...
Like, there's nothing they can do. They will die from it. And so...
like, cut back on cheese.
But they live long enough to mate.
Okay.
Still.
Okay. So as long as they can get that going keep the species going, then sorry, Grandpa's going to die early because of his stupid constipation. We'll have new scorpions before you know it. That's such a weird thing.
It is a weird thing.
Yeah.
There's another one that found that, this is again, probably no surprise to anyone, but that ice cream used instead of ice chips after chemotherapy helps chemo patients have better pain outcomes after.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Is if they just use ice cream instead of ice chips.
Why? Because those ice chips, it's like you hear about that all the time. And Tina did that too. And pregnancy, they do it after pregnancy, like, oh, here's ice chips or surgery or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy.
And certainly
could have been
that's
ice cream the whole time. Damn it.
Yeah. You dropped the ball on that one, Brian.
Yeah. It wasn't me. It was the doctors.
Yeah. How dare you not know about this obscure scientific story?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
There was a study that looked at how best to use your fingers to control columnar knobs. Basically, how best to turn knobs.
Okay. Yeah, just vertical knobs like the ones on my mixer.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Okay. There was a really interesting one that looked at that analyzed ancient pots. That, you know how you have like old pottery that has like art on it that depicts common practices that people would do, like, you know, Egyptian pottery or Mesopotamian stuff, you know.
Yeah.
That'll show like things that people, it shows people doing stuff, right?
Yeah.
They analyzed some pots that apparently depicted the technique of using alcohol and drugs in enemas, and how to administer those.
Mm. So. Wow. Well, that seems like
The scientist on this one.
Yeah.
For science. Did it? Decided to
did it to himself. He's the guinea pig. You're saying he did the
exactly.
Wow.
He did that to himself with some alcohol and there was another one. It would administer an alcohol enema and take a breathalyzer every once in a while.
Did he get results from that? Did it actually show up at all?
Yeah, it turns out that your rectum can absorb things faster.
Yeah, but then I guess you know what this shows my lack of knowledge about how breathalyzers worked. I assumed it's because you drank a lot, so it's on your breath, but it's actually
no.
Your lungs are generating.
Yeah, the stuff. Reason a breathalyzer works is because you've got alcohol in your bloodstream, and that exchange of blood in your lungs includes alcohol, and so it's actually coming out of. It's actually accurately depicting blood alcohol levels.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yep. So even if you shoot it up your butt, you're still gonna show up on a breathalyzer.
Do you think that's still popular with the kids, the college freshmen? You know, putting
the soak tampons and whatever.
Or yeah, or
was it ever popular?
Right, it could be like the whole FDA popularizing NyQuil marinated chicken. Right,
Like
maybe one person said it. But then the FDA is like, oh, no, here, quick, let's launch this huge campaign to stop people from doing this. And that's
and I
what
bet you
caused
it caused,
viral.
Yeah, it causes more people to do it, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Exactly. That's my
oh, thinking, I'm sure they did. But like, that's the problem is on the one hand, you want to warn against it. And on the other hand, you don't want to popularize it by warning against it. So they're kind of they're in a catch-22.
That's why I started eating Tide Pods.
Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
Exactly. I think if you see one person doing it, you just say, let them mm-hmm. take themselves out of out of contention for breathing. I mean,
but if it's a big thing, people,
sure.
Yes, right. You're like, oh, maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, I remember. Look, in 1993, I started pulling people's spines out, not because of Mortal Kombat, but because they warned me that
they
if I played
you exactly.
it.
Exactly. It was like, what? Every time I hear the phrase finish him, I'm supposed to do this.
I know. That's my understanding.
Scorpion's doing it a lot. It must be fun.
Yeah. Scorpion, speaking of scorpions.
Comes back to scorpions. How
about that? You think his tail falls off when he's constipated? I don't know. You'll be able to find out.
I feel like that's why he's so angry. I'm angry when I'm constipated.
Get over here. Give me some fiber. I need fiber. Get over here.
All right.
Borrow your anus.
He has the tools to do it. Hey, Bobby, having you on is always a treat. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
Now I want to pay attention to it.
I pulled up
it.
The site, the improbable site, to start looking at some of these.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the cylinder, the knob turning one is all in Japanese. I can't, even if I do the translate, it doesn't, I want the paraphrased edition. I want to know.
Wait,
yeah.
The turning knob is all in Japanese, so it's turning, it's Japanese. Turning Japanese? Is that what you're saying? It's turning Japanese?
Oh, look at you. Oh, well
look
done,
at my
sir.
My old music reference there, everybody. Ask your parents.
Well done.
Anyway, hey, Bill, or Bill, hey, Bob. Bob and Bill. Bobby, what
you
else?
Do it all the time.
You guys, you got this show, this all-around science show, which continues a lot of the threads that you bring up here, and I'd love people to know more about it. Where can they get it?
It's a science podcast. Every week we talk about different science-y stuff. It's called All Around Science. That's just, if you search for it, wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find it. All Around Science. This past week, the one episode that came out yesterday, we talked about Saturn's rings. You've probably seen them, or at least seen pictures of them. And we talked about where did they come from? Because did you know that all gas giants in our solar system, anyway, they all have rings. Jupiter does, Uranus does, Neptune does. But why is it that Saturn, of all the planets, it's not even the biggest one. Why is it that Saturn's are so big and compared to everybody else's? They're so dramatically different.
Yeah, that's why it was the recent shot the web got of, what's the planet they did?
I think that was Neptune.
Neptune. They Neptune. Looked, you don't even think of Neptune as having rings. We knew it did.
Right.
These dusty, more dusty, finer rings. But because the previous tech wasn't able to show it in the way that Saturn always is, we see these new ones and we're like, oh my gosh, it's like a whole different planet. It's like a whole different thing.
Right.
And it's great. So why, I guess you go into it, why?
Yeah, we talk about why scientists are pretty sure what caused Saturn's rings to be so dramatically different than the other planets, and you should listen and find out why.
Well, I'm going to, and I'll find out why along with the rest of America and the world. Bobby, it's great to have you on with us as always. Do check him out on all that fun stuff. Have a fantastic
week. Theaters.
In theaters.
In theaters Thursday.
All right, there goes Bobby. There he goes. Let's do the final bits of
going to theaters Thursday. I need to go. I want to go see that Don't Worry Darling while it's in theaters.
Oh yeah, I want to hear a friend tell me if that's good.
Yeah, I know, cuz I hear mixed reviews on it. Like it's more the excitement of the hype over Olivia Wilde and everybody not liking her.
Yeah, like all the controversy around the production of the thing. Does the movie hold up despite all that?
Exactly.
Like, I just don't know. By the way, quick check here. Smile at 80% currently. That seems like a good horror.
Oh, really?
Movie.
Yeah. I didn't even think that was out yet. I thought that didn't come out till this weekend.
Ooh, Don't Worry Darling at 38. That's concerning. But I'll take what you end up saying. Audience reviews at around 78. That seems better.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So what doesn't seem better, it definitely is better. Yeah. You never freaking can tell. All right.
No, you really can't.
We're gonna take our leave. Before we go, quick note that tonight at 3:30 Mountain Time, that'll be tonight for some people, but really just afternoon for many others. 3:30 p.m. Mountain, we will be doing an episode of Play Retro. Myself and Brian Dunaway are digging deep on some very cool retro topics. If you would like to tune in for that live, it's at 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv, or get the podcast later. Let's see, what else? Probably a new diary today. Brian, you got anything coming out today we should mention?
Nothing coming out today. I got to start prep for this week's Coverville, and that's about it.
Any hint as to what Coverville will be about?
No, I haven't even looked to see whose birthday is coming up or who it's going to, you know, who the subject is going to be. So right now, you all know as much as I do.
Do you ever have like a last minute contingency if someone dies or whatever, where you're going to like slip them in? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you know, let's say, heaven forbid, let's say, let's say some famous musician dies tomorrow, then I will absolutely scramble together a show.
That's a sign that we're starting to believe what people say
we
about
believe
us
our own
name.
Hype. Exactly. Yeah. Like, yes, I'm
we
not
say their
mention
name.
Any names, but that's the thing. It's like, and I break the rules for those shows where I try in most shows not to play songs I've played on the show before. So if I do like a regular Clash episode, for example, I try not to play songs that I've played on previous Clash cover stories. So that somebody could listen to all the Clash cover stories and have like a, you know, 6-hour Clash enjoyment fest. But if somebody dies, then I kind of break that rule because A, I need the quicker turnaround time, and B, because I want not just to have a good selection of their songs, but I want, if I've already played what I consider to be the best cover of one of their songs on a previous show, yeah, I don't want to have to like play a different cover.
I see.
So that I don't, you know, they deserve, in passing, they deserve a tribute with the best covers of all of their songs.
Well, you guys just got a behind the curtain look at how Coverville is made.
Sausage right there. That's the sausage
coming out of the grinder. Yep. Look at Brian Sausage. All right, moving on. Let's thank some patrons real quick. Actually, so we don't have any new ones since yesterday, which isn't that unusual, but I wanted to do a fun little thing. When there's no names here, I'm going to do this more often. So if you haven't signed up at patreon.com/TMS, the next 3 new patrons that sign up at any level, doesn't matter which one you're at, you got to sign up and stay, though. You can't just be there for a day. All right, because it won't count.
we will yoink your prize.
We'll yoink your prize if you do that. But you will get a print magnet sticker pack that includes some sort of print signed by me, some art from me as well, a magnet, likely based on my own artwork, possibly Carter's. I forget what I have over here. And a sticker pack of some sort will come to you in the mail internationally, locally. Doesn't matter where you live. We'll cover the costs on it. It doesn't matter. We're sending it to the next 3 patrons who sign up. And the last guy that signed up was, let's see.
Mailman, wasn't it?
I think it was Mailman. So what I'm going to do is automatically, because Mailman, you know, he didn't know about this opportunity. I'm going to give Mailman one as well. So the next 3 plus Mailman, they all get a Frog Pants mega pack from me. Okay. And galactically as well, codes from home. I will send it anywhere in the known universe. All right.
Nice.
You just have to have an address that I can verify. Anyway, there you go. That's patreon.com/TMS for all those details. Check it out today. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. And if you've got feedback, thoughts, and comments, send us an email, themorningstream@gmail.com. I like the end of the show with a nice little song in my heart, and I can't do it unless Brian brought one. So what'd you bring? Well,
let's do one going out to one of the unsung heroes of TMS, a person who doesn't always get the credit they deserve for their little secret behind-the-scenes contributions. I'm talking about Iceworm, a.k.a. Mike, who wrote in to say, "Hello, Stacked Actors and Breakout." That is tracks 1 and 2 off of his favorite Foo Fighters record, There's Nothing Left to Lose.
Nice.
"I'm here in California about to go to the Taylor Hawkins tribute concert. L.A. represent! I was supposed to see the Foo Fighters back in August. However, after the tragic passing of Taylor Hawkins, the tour was understandably canceled. I was lucky enough to get tickets to the LA tribute show. I'm still shocked I was able to get a ticket because it sold out in minutes. Definitely a once-in-a-lifetime event. If I've ever seen one. So, any cover, either by or of the Foo Fighters, would be awesome. I leave it in Brian's very capable hands to pick a great one. Love the show, though. Mike, a.k.a. Iceworm."
Oh, Iceworm's the best. He does all sorts of little secrety things that none of you know about, but he does them without blinking. He's amazing.
And he has the softest ears on the planet. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's true.
They're made out of some material that isn't known to man. It's very odd.
They're like little lamb's ears. Mm-hmm. Anyway, how about this one right here? A lot of people's favorite Foo Fighters song is Everlong. I think mine might be Everlong. I love that track.
It's really good.
How about a cover by the band First to 11? They released this one last year on volume 10 of their covers series. Here's Everlong by First to 11.
See you guys tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Only in theaters.